Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
And we're back, 2023. Happy New Year and first podcast of the year where we're going to be on it and we're going to just bring this to you live. How are you, best friend? Happy Monday.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm Jocelyn. If you forgot who we are, this is literally episode 3, so we're still getting the hang of things.
Yes, but- and I am today, and welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, episode Tris.
Yes, our first one of the new year. Really excited because we took some time off and the TV has just been TVing.
Ooh, especially during award season. So I cannot wait because we got some things to talk about, girl. But how are you? How is life? How is everything going?
Honestly, I'm blessed. I can't complain. I had like a roller coaster of a week last week with the Golden Globes. But when I made it to Friday, it was literally just like breathing, like, Jocelyn, you made it. You made it through the week. You got this. You're good. And I just spent the whole weekend relaxing. And thank God for Martin Luther King. Martin Luther
thank God.
King Jr.
Happy birthday, bro.
Work in the civil rights movement and for blessing us with this day off from work. And I hope that everyone, white people included, mm-hmm. recognize the significance of Dr. Martin Luther King and this day that he has blessed us with, okay?
Because my mama always told me never work on Martin Luther King Day, even if I don't have it off. So round of applause for Martin Luther King and you doing the Golden Globes. My best friend was amazing. She's a star. So that is good that you got that time to relax. Same here.
Yes. Just- and it was just amazing, like connecting with the Abbott Elementary cast because they were all there showing love. First of all, my favorite part of the day was talking to Mr. Johnson.
I love him.
Yes. You got to say his whole name too. Hold on.
What is it?
William Sanford. Hold on. Look at us. I should have had it together.
Right? All right. Come on. We got to do better. We got to
I had it right. William Sanford Davis. I just forgot the last. I knew it was three names. William Sanford Davis, who plays Mr. Johnson in Abbott Elementary. He was so sweet. He told me that he bases his character off of his grandmother because she used to be up at everybody's business. Yes. And then when I met Janelle James, who plays Ava Coleman, Principal Ava, she's not acting. Like she's acting.
No, she really is. I could tell. Yeah. She really this is. Her,
like when you can tell that she's real humble about it too, because this is like her first real like actor role. She even admitted that, like her first show, and she's crushing it. She was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress. But at the same time, she still just takes everything in a real humble attitude with not losing herself. And then speaking with the renowned Cheryl Lee Ralph, who
we love, Auntie Cheryl. She can do no wrong ever.
Ever. Like I had made the mistake of saying, how does it feel to be competing against your co-star? And she set my ass straight. She said, I am not competing against my co-star. Okay.
Woo.
We are in the same. I am blessed by God to be in the category that they call the best. And she
you
was
know
like,
what?
Saying without saying black women. And she's loving to see black women shine. Cause then she said, the next thing she said was, and you see Viola Davis walking behind me. Amen. And I got everything.
Praise of what Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Queen, a true queen. And my friends, everybody was laughing at me for like, cause I showed everything of my behind the scenes commentary of how you really got to like scream at these stars just to get them to look at you. And I was just like in the moment, but also speaking from the heart. And when I saw Angela Bassett, I said, you're a queen. You're a queen. She said, thank you. And she blew me a kiss. I told Eddie Murphy, thank you for everything you do.
Oh my gosh. We love Uncle Eddie. Genuinely. I just feel like every famous black person is in my family. And I know it's right. Crazy, but I feel like that's my uncle, Auntie Cheryl. I feel like Janelle is my cousin and we go into the back when we want to do adult things and you know, at the cookout.
You know Eddie Murphy.
I just love
them. He might be related. Y'all might be related. You never know. You never know.
Probably. Yeah, my last name is Lee Murphy.
Right. Tanaya Murphy. It was fun though. It like, you know, you make the best of it, but let's just put it out there. Red carpets are NMF sane. If anyone has never been to one, I know it looks amazing on the surface, like when we post it on Instagram or you see it on television. But if you are working in it, it is hectic. It's just a lot. It starts before the event. And especially now with COVID, and you have to go get COVID tested, and it has to be PCRs, and it has to be within 20, like 48 hours. And then you have to come pick up your credentials the day before. And then out of nowhere, it just happens to be that it is a monsoon in Los Angeles, which is like, when is it ever?
Oh my gosh.
So it was just like all this like leading up to it. Then the day of, it's cold and rainy. It thankfully stopped raining right before the carpet has started. But it was still like windy and chilly. Like, it's not like how LA typically is in January. So it was just like, really? You know, so it was just a lot. But at the same time, it goes so fast. And before you know it, it's over. And people be like hanging out afterwards. And you can kind of go to a room and watch the awards. I took my black ass home.
I knew you did. And one thing about my best friend, she's going to go home. Yeah. She's going to go home. I don't know if we made this clear, but she's in LA and I am in Jersey City. So we are not in the same place.
Yes.
I don't think we ever said that. So this
is why. We never said that. They'll find out about us as we go.
Yes. We'll give you guys just a show about us. But
you'll get to know more about us other than the fact that we are real life best friends talking about the TV content that we've been binging throughout the week. There's so much more to us. Many layers. Many layers.
Okay.
So going into our weekly grab of major standout moments from the shows that we've been watching, I will kick it off. Because remember I was telling you, I really, like, there's just certain, like, kind of topics, like, just kind of pop culture things. So Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is not airing at the moment. However, Lisa Rinna just announced that she is leaving the show. She just announced it last week. After 8 seasons, she will no longer be on the Housewives of Beverly Hills. To the happiness of many fans who were calling for her removal, fans have been speaking out against the Fox Force 5. That's Kyle, Lisa, Dorit, Erica Jane, and formerly Teddy Mellencamp, who she'd been off the show. They say that they just have too much power. They kind of gang up on like Sutton and Garcelle and even Crystal. Like whoever is against them, it's like bad for them because there's such a force of them being, well, 4 of them on the show. And they really stick with each other to where what we were seeing last season where people were getting upset, where it's just like, if one of them kind of are in the wrong, they really don't even put the fire to them the way they would someone else. So it's like a lot of, you know, favoritism and such. Right. So now with Lisa Rinna leaving, it really shakes things up in regards to the Fox Force 5 and their power. And then also just the dynamic on the show. So I'm actually happy. I'm happy.
I'm so happy because she really went on this reunion and said, put me on pause. Like, sis, you are not Andy. You are not a producer. Uh-huh. I feel like she was spilling herself. And I do agree with Ms. Hilton. I think her contract was up. I think she wanted to do the most. And I mean, they're always going to say kind of like a Cynthia Bailey where like, oh, I decided to leave. I don't think unless you like really messed up, they'll be like, we fired them, but I feel like she was testing their gangsta. I feel like she's like, I can do what I want, and pause. And it's like, oh, hi, sis. And now she's like, it's been a good run.
She had been doing that throughout the season on social media. Then when it came to the reunion and her saying like, oh, they didn't let me speak about my mother. It was like they wanted to create an agenda. Then to what she said, oh, put me on pause. She told them to put her on pause. Then at BravoCon, giving the fans the finger when they booed her ass. It was just a lot of showing her ass. And I think exactly what we found out through the Ultimate Girls Trip, when they be claiming that they leave the show, no, you really got put on pause, as Dorinda Medley would say. And good for that.
That's what we're going to call it.
Yes.
Put on pause.
Put on pause, but she was tired. Lisa had no storyline. She would just try to stir the pot and pick petty feuds with people. We watched her in her last season, she argued with Sutton about Elton John tickets and then just kind of interjected herself in Garcelle's beef telling Garcelle is like, what is y'all's issue with me? Is it because I'm black? Just say it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm still not understanding what I've done to anyone for y'all to be picking at me. But, you know. So, yes, that was kind of the first on my list of the weekly grab was Lisa Rinna's longly overdue exit from the show.
Hush.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Listen, pause. Bye.
Right.
Thank you. Next. Pause. Wait, I don't know if we have to pay when we sing stuff like that. So I'm not going to do that. I don't know how this works.
Right.
Speaking of like award show season and your interaction, Abbott Elementary is like my favorite show. I'm one of those people who I have to catch it on like the Wednesday and not the Hulu Thursdays. Mm-hmm. I'm just in love with the show, the writing, how every episode I like laugh, but I also learn something. It's so endearing. And now they're getting more into like the characters' personal lives. So you see Gregory with his dad. We're learning that Janine has like a very interesting relationship with her mom and her sister. And I always am like on Twitter, like, make this person your thing. So LeVar Burton tweeted that he loves Ab and he would like to be on the show. We have not seen Barbara Howard's husband. I would like to start the petition to make LeVar Burton Barbara's husband. Let's get it done. Let's go. He really likes the show. And I think Twitter is powerful. So it just is one of those feel good shows. Cause you know, I love a medical drama or like a sad ass show. And this show just makes me happy. And I also love that they're shining a light on public school teachers. I have a lot of friends that are public school teachers and they're like, we've never had a show that like saw us. They recently had an episode with a little girl who was dyslexic, but the parents was like, no, my daughter's perfect. So it just teaches you a lot of things that you don't see in education. So I just want to give Abbott all of their flowers.
Yes, I love the show. It makes me laugh. I love all the characters, the stories it tells. I'm just an advocate for teachers, especially yes. Public school teachers. I think that they don't get paid enough. I don't think that they're valued enough for all that they do and raising everybody else's children. And I think Abbott Elementary sheds a light on just the importance of their role and in a funny way. So yeah, and Quinta is being awarded Quinta? For that. Is it Quinta or Quinta?
It is Quinta. Quinta Brunson.
Quinta. Quinta.
Yes. Quinta. It is Quinta. Queen Quinta. So that's
Quinta.
How I remember it.
Okay, Quinta. Yeah, Quinta. You know, she's winning big over this award season. She already has a Golden Globe. Did she win a Critics' Choice Award? Or no, that was Cheryl.
No, the series won.
The show is
so
winning.
So that is a win for her.
It's winning, right? It's her show. So yes, shout out to Abbey. I'm here for it as well. On a messier note, thank you, Tanea, for bringing the class to the podcast. Okay.
Now here comes the sass.
Okay. Because now my next weekly grab is Love and Marriage Huntsville. It was the 3-part reunion just wrapped yesterday. And it's a lot. It's always a lot. One, because Carlos King is he's an amazing producer and he's great at hosting his show's reunions, like the reunions for his shows. If you don't know, Carlos King is basically the Andy Cohen over at OWN with the Love and Marriage Huntsville. And even like he has other shows, Southern Bells and Bell Collective and stuff. So he's doing his
thing. Is he doing those Ready to Love shows? Sorry.
He doesn't. But yeah, that would be a lot. But OWN has good content. Like it's really good content over there. But he did an amazing job. The one thing I will say towards the end, the last two episodes, we got to see, the last episode, it got real waterworks, you know, where he's like serving as therapist and he's been doing it. I saw a clip where he shared it with his reunion on the Bell Collective. He did the same thing where he takes it so personal because of, I guess, the relationship he has with the cast and then how much he knows about their lives. And then just being a Black man, you know, just understanding the Black story, the Black struggle. So he really puts himself into the people that are on his show. And so when he's giving them advice, it's like, in a way, you can tell that he's kind of speaking to someone he knows personally. And so he can get emotional and he'll just start crying. And he did that while he was giving Martell. But what I'll say is that what he's saying is so powerful, it's so impactful. But at the same
time, I did see the clip. You know, I don't watch the show, yeah. but I watched the YouTube clips. And I did see him crying, like pleading out, like, you're hurt. You're going through a lot.
Yes.
And I could see Martell feeling uncomfortable because he was right.
Yes. If you notice, every time. Okay. So just on this reunion, when Martell started tearing up, just admitting about, you know, his regrets about the divorce, Tisha and Marcel just tried to pass him some tissue. And he was like, oh, relax. I don't need no tissue. This was about 2 years ago. It was during the height of they were divorcing, but it was like a couples counseling session, and you know, Martell's opening up, and so he kind of gets a bit emotional, and Melody goes to just kind of put her shoulder, her hand on him to rub his back. He's like, oh, don't touch me. It's like, yo, really have a problem with embracing your emotions. And that's not normal. And so it's like, I guess Carlos was trying to really break through, and then he gets emotional. But, you know, it's like, I get it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, try to hone it in to just kind of focus on, like, say what you're saying, because it's impactful. But we don't need all the waterworks. Overall, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I feel like as a host, it's kind of distracting. It's like, I don't watch the show as you do. I watch the YouTube clips. So it's a lot to see. I get his impact, but I do agree with you. Like, all right, we get it. You're sad.
Right. Exactly. It's like, it's not that deep. Tisha and Marcel. So we end up finding out what Kiki knew about them in regards to possible cheating. It's just years ago, Tisha found a nude picture of a woman in Marcel's phone. And so this comes out at the reunion. Marcel admits it. Carlos asks him about it. He says it was somebody they were interviewing for a job. So like, why, you know, she was like, yeah, but you responded saying, ooh, a little afternoon surprise or a midday work surprise. So now this is the first little piece of evidence that we get into Marcel being unfaithful. He has long been accused. He has dodged every bullet saying he has never cheated on his wife. And Tisha stands by his side and saying, and then Carlos asked her at this reunion, like, if you caught Marcel cheating, would you leave? She was like, yes, she would. But nobody believes her because Tisha's so submissive. And then the reason at the same time you're so interested in it is just kind of seeing the role Tisha played when Martell right. and Melody were divorcing. Like, Tisha acts like she was trying to be a friend. She was being messy as hell. Tisha was the first one to surface Martell cheating. She was the first one to say something.
The mistress.
Yeah. She brought it up like, oh, so how did y'all get through cheating in your marriage? So.
Yeah. And I feel like people like that who throw stones, just from what I've seen in clips, I feel like she does that because she knows. I feel like maybe it's me. I'm not married. I don't have a husband. But like, I feel like there's a feeling. And I feel like the way he acts, like, no, my gut is telling me he does some stuff. And I don't got to watch it to know. It's just his whole energy and how he acts and how super defensive he is. I don't trust it. Mm-mm. Yeah. He doing something.
Right. It's just like too fishy. And then, you know, and it's like at the same time, I'm not looking to see Tisha get heartbroken on national television, but it's just like at the same time, the way her attitude is towards Mel, and granted, Melody is not no saint, you know, Melody's not no saint, but it's like at the same time, they got divorced, you know, it's like, what more do you want? But to just, you kind of still see, continue to see Tisha throw rocks and hide her hand. And especially with her mom, her messy ass mom, Wanda, and Tisha being silent.
Ooh, she is.
Yeah. Then also Destiny getting called out for just being closed off on the show. And her claiming like, oh, just give me, you know, next season, you'll see more. Girl, you just had a whole season of just being angry, bitter, and not sharing nothing about your life. So don't tell us.
She's divorced too, right?
Yeah. And, you know, she allegedly couldn't talk about that. So, but at the same time, since her divorce, she hasn't shared nothing about a love life. If she's dating, if she goes on dates, all her scenes on the show is talking about Mel and Martell and having an attitude at Mel and being mad. Like, girl, why are you here? Like, why are you here? So that was my take on, oh, and then shout out to Stormy. I think she got a lot of criticism during her introduction on the show earlier in the season. And Carlos talked about that, but it was just kind of messed up because the criticism she received was people calling her ghetto. And, you know, I actually interviewed Stormy for Black Enterprise, and she is she is beyond ghetto. Like, there's no ghetto about her. Like, this girl is grounded in the word of God, hard work, educated, hardworking, made a decision of how she wanted to start her hair care company on her own from just running her own salon, you know what I'm saying? And created her own product and figured out how to push it and turn it into a she is the only real self-made millionaire on that show that is from Alabama. Like, she is what the show represents. She is married. She's very transparent about her journey of using IVF to get pregnant. She now uses, she uses her charity to donate an IVF treatment to one lucky woman a year. Like,
love that.
It's like, don't call this girl ghetto just because she has a Southern accent. And then you got ghetto on the show and y'all just like, don't care. Cause it's like, you don't even know their whole stories. Give Stormy some time, because I definitely think the more that viewers get to see about her life, they'll like her more, you know, because she has a lot to offer. So that's my spiel on Love and Maritime Spiel, season 5. It was a very, very long season and very good season. Worth every view.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to watch the YouTube clips because I don't know who Stormy is, but I will find out. So by next episode, I'm going to be like, yes, girl, Stormy, yes. I have just started this suspenseful kaleidoscope on Netflix where it's purposely, you can watch it in order. Basically, it goes through the life of a group of robbers over 25 years and a heist from start to finish. Now, you can start from the beginning, but the premise is to kind of hop around, but just make sure that, this is what I heard on TikTok, the white episode has to be last. It's not going to make sense if you do white out of order. So any other order, but white last. And I just want to push people to do stuff like this, because this shit was amazing. It was creative. I loved I think I started with pink because it's my favorite color, of course. I started with pink. And I had so many questions, and then I went to like red and I was like, oh, so some of the it just is so enticing. I haven't finished yet because it's so much TV. But I just love this premise of giving us a story and allowing us to kind of follow certain like navigational ways towards it. I think I have about 3 more episodes, but I want to encourage everyone to try Kaleidoscope because it is a good show. But the best thing about it is like, oh, you can start from episode 4 or you can go in order, but that's boring. Don't go in order.
Yeah. So I'm watching it in order. I'm up to blue.
No.
What?
Skip it. Don't go in order, best friend. That's the best part. It's to not go in order.
I mean, but I don't feel like getting all lost in my order. I like order. I like order in my life. Okay.
True. Because I thought I was going to get lost, but I actually didn't. So I understand. Yeah, I'm watching it.
And yeah, no, because I when I was watching episode blue, just a couple of hours ago, Mark started watching it. And Mark hasn't been paying attention when I've been putting it on. So he just was seeing that episode and he got into it. So you don't need to know what was happening in the episode before or after to follow the storyline of that episode. And I'm just here for Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, we love him. Round of applause.
I have loved him since Do the Right Thing and Fresh. Yes. Yes. He can act. He can act any role. He can play anything. And just kind of seeing him at least now break out of the villain role that he had kind of been in his like last roles with Breaking Bad, even seeing him in Godfather of Harlem play Adam Clayton Powell, they kind of put him in more of a villain politician role. So now, I mean, granted, he's playing a thief, but
he's a good thief.
He's a good thief. Like, he has kind of morals and values behind it, and we're kind of getting to see that. So yeah, I'm here for it. I'm watching the show as well. I love the depth of it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. But now on to a little ratchetness, because you know that's this is a balanced show. Very bad.
And this is the best part about it. We're going to give you some drama, but we're going to give you some reality TV.
Right. Because now back to the reality TV, because that's what I love. Love After Lockup this season.
This show is such a guilty pleasure.
Yes. This season is one of my favorites. I've been waiting for a season of this caliber because I've watched the show. I missed season one, but I've watched Love After Lockup since, like, faithfully since season two. So I've watched all of them. Love, Life After Lockup, Love During Lockup. I watch all of them. Every spinoff, I watch it. This season is my favorite. It's like when you, especially with the New York couples, like because I'm from New York, like those are my favorite because I just understand the ratchetry level. So the, you know, like Gabby and Chris. It's
hot mess. I know the projects that they shooting.
Yes, right. It's just like it's so relatable on a different level. Understanding Chris having to take the train all the way to Jersey to get to Gabby.
Listen, I'm in Jersey, bro. I feel you.
And then he's still talking about, yo, forget this. I'm gonna go to my mother's house. Boy, you just did all of that to get there. Now you're gonna go back. When they had sex in an alleyway and she had the wet spot in her sweatpants, it was just like, this show
that's is disgusting. So and you got married at the Greyhound bus stop, girl.
The Greyhound bus stop, girl. His mother and sister was around the corner not knowing anything, what's going on. They got married at the Greyhound bus stop and then tried to have sex in the bathroom at the Greyhound, but got stopped. So then they ended up pulling over to an alleyway and having sex there. And Gabby was left with a stain of wetness in her sweatpants. Okay, but they are not even topping the cake. Okay, we have Monique and Derek. Okay, Monique and Derek have gone viral because I've been watching the show and Mark, like if I'm watching it, Mark, my husband is Mark, he will, if he's there, he'll take a look. So now when I started watching the latest episode, when Monique and Derek came on the screen, he was like, oh, yo, I saw a meme of them on Instagram. Okay, Monique and Derek. Monique is beyond like a BBW. It's like, I saw the term. It's like BBXLW. Something like Monique is a very, very big woman. Big. And Derek.
Voluptuous.
Extremely. Extremely. And Derek is not only like a time, like he's short. He's short, small, stocky, muscular man who actually wants to be a personal trainer. Bestie, in the latest episode, she went to the gym with him to start his gym membership. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe she's going to the gym. Yo, then the one before she was laying in the bed, he wanted to go to the casino. And she's like laying in the bed and it was just like, look, the way, like, I don't even know how they sleep in that bed. Well, someone noticed that they're not sleeping in the bed together because they noticed sheets on the couch. There's no way that they can share a queen mat. Like they need at least a California king. But anyways,
yes.
There's the level of delusion in this season of Love After Lockup is top tier. Top tier. Mm. And if you are a fan of some type of a guilty pleasure where you just want to see something to just like, let me just check it out. I implore you to just watch one episode of this latest season of Love After Lockup because it is hilarious. There's another chick that just cries all the goddamn time. I'm like, if she cries one more time.
I forgot her name, but yeah, she cries a lot.
The one that runs the jewelry store and she just is with a robber who robs. Girl. I can't.
She gotta stop crying. And my whole thing with, is it Monique and Derek? That's her name?
Yes.
I just feel like I don't like how overprotective that whole tracking him and knowing where he is and putting his number in your name so that when he calls a girl's name, like he can't say that's his sister or his cousin.
And then you can tell she gets an attitude when he wants to like go out or talk to someone.
She's very insecure and very controlling. It's not going to work.
But okay, I'm sorry. I just got to say it. It's like you're seeing all the money she spent on Derek since his release. They ate a $500 dinner. She let him order whatever he wanted to eat. She bought him Gucci shirt, a Mary jeans, a cell phone, spent money on the hotel, getting him the gym membership.
She did a lot.
Imagine the amount of money she was sending him while he was inside prison. Girl, why are you not going to just go see somebody you know what I'm saying? She did in the first episode. See, the season premiere, she went to talk to someone to get probably like gastric bypass or something. Because probably like a lap band. You know what I'm saying? Like just start with controlling how much you're eating. And that would at least help her with losing the weight. And then after she loses the weight, she could decide how she wants to get rid of all this extra skin. Cause that's just, it's just, that's kind of like the process. But it's just like, yeah, girl, cause it's, she's not ugly. You know, she's not ugly.
She did catfish him. She did catfish she him because all her pictures were from the neck up.
She touched up those pictures a great deal. Sure did.
Filter was on, honey.
Yes, but you know, that's the season to live after lockup. I'm so here for it. But go ahead, bestie, take it home.
And you know, we're gonna end on a less ratchetist note. I want to end with White Lotus. I finally finished season 2. My best friend said she's just starting season 1, so I don't want to say too much.
Oh, it's up to season 2?
Yeah, girl, it's a whole season. You a whole season behind.
Oh, it's up to season 2, child. Oh.
Yeah, it's quick, though. It's only like 6 episodes. I think it's 6 episodes season 1 and 7 episodes season 2. So you can finish over the weekend. Like, it's really quick. But the writing, true fact, the creator, Mike White, I'm a fan of his because I like The Amazing Race, and him and his dad, who's also, they're both gay. They were on like an earlier season. He's like a really good writer. He wrote School of Rock, one with Jack Black. I never saw it, but I know he wrote it. But yes, if you're looking for a show that's going to keep you on the edge of your seat that you think you know, because every show begins with somebody died. Mm-hmm. You don't never know who, it's just, I love the twists, the turns. You will, I promise you, best friend, you're going to be screaming at your TV. What do you do? It's just so good. The writing is better and better. I don't know how they're going to do it for season 3, but I just need to email somebody to be a walk-on character. Like, I just want to be at the hotel. Like, welcome to the White Lotus. So I can't wait for you to get into it. We'll do a recap at least catch up.
Okay. I was sold after seeing his acceptance speech at the Golden Globes when he was drunk. And he's like, so many of you passed on the show. So many of you passed.
Yo, I love that shade. Yo, the Golden Globes. He was like, yeah, a lot of you guys in this room. I emailed you and you guys didn't want it. And I was like, work. Because look at Jennifer Coolidge getting all of her coins. She's amazing in the show. She's a 20 out of 20. I've loved her before, but like, I can't wait for you to get into that show because you're going to be cursing out your television. Like, what the hell is going on? So yes, watch White Lotus. It's drama, a little funny. It's a 10 out of 10.
I just started it like yesterday. So I'm just taking my time. But yes, getting there. All right, girl. So now let's get into this piss poor performance. I just have like a little roundup because I don't even want to take up too much of y'all's time. I'm just literally going to do a roundup of Housewives because they're the only ones that done pissed me off this past week on the tubes. So over on The Real Housewives of Miami, we have Alexia Echeverria. Okay, I actually had been a fan of hers. I'm still catching up with the early seasons of Miami. So I never really knew much about her character other than seeing her on Cocaine Cowboys. And then...
Yeah, that's how I know her, yeah.
And then the reemergence of Housewives. Because I know, Bestie, you're trying to start it from season 1. And I told you to just start from season 4. Because I just started from season 4. I'm just now starting season 1. And it is like very dry and very slow. But I mean, I am seeing little bits. I'm reviewing the people that are still on the show with a different eye because now, you know, I see season 4 and we're up to season 5. So when I'm watching season 1, I'm noticing little things about Alexia that probably would have been overlooked, you know, but now what we're seeing is, oh my God, this girl just, she takes no accountability. Miss Wrong and strong as ever. She's extremely full of herself and defensive and plays victim and takes no accountability. But at the same time, she says that about you as if this is what you're doing. She was arguing with Julia. Mind you, they're arguing because she said a racist comment about Julia being a Russian prostitute. And
which is not okay.
Which is not okay. And so you need to take accountability and own up to that and just apologize and let it end at the apology. No, she's trying to explain why she said it. So then now Julia's like, well, I could bring up the fact that you was married to a drug dealer and you funded your lifestyle through drug money. And she's like, no, I didn't fund my lifestyle through drug money. So then they go back on the Sprinter and they're arguing more on the Sprinter And Adriana tries to jump in to defend Julia, and then Alexia throws in her face that she's dating a married man. Mind you, Adriana didn't know she was dating no married man. Alexia just told her that this guy is married. So you're seeing her in another scene call the guy like, are you married? She don't know she with no guy that could potentially be. So you're just trying to throw that in her face to deflect that. Bitch, you said a racist joke. So
legit. Yeah.
So then she says another comment like, I'm the star and you all could just deal with it. So then when Gertie makes a face like, girl, what? She's like, Gertie, why are you making that face? Like, it's like Alexia is ready to go to war with everybody to just defend herself being wrong. And you could tell that there's some, she can't admit, just say you was wrong, girl. Just say you're sorry and that's it. So I never really like Housewives like that, but at the same time, they're great for the show. So I'm still here for Alexia, but she's on my list. Lars is on my list. Because Dr. Nicole called her out for the way Larsa constantly took shade, tried to shade Nicole for previously her ex-husband is a teacher, a school teacher. But the way Larsa says it, like, you want me to bring up your ex-husband, the school teacher? Like, your ex-husband worked as a school teacher. And it's like, Larsa, what have you ever been other than a basketball wife?
Like, literally. And I still think it's very gross that you're dating Michael Jordan's son. I don't care what nobody says.
Yeah, that's way young. You are 20 years older than this than him. You know, granted, still, but you're like 20 years older than him. And then when Dr. Nicole was bringing it up to her, she was just, Larsa's like, but do you know who my ex-husband is? Wait, girl, do you really think that you're a celebrity because you were married to Scottie Pippen? Girl.
Not even Michael Jordan. Not even
Kobe. But you know what? At the same time, it's clear as day that Larsa has to have a level of delusion to look the way she looks and have the nerve to try to say that she didn't get her ass done and all she's gotten done is a nose job in her lips. Like, if you look at season one today, I know you still watch season one. Look at season one and look at the one who's on TV today. They look like two completely different people. The only way you could kind of tell is a little in the eyes. It's like, oh, I think the eyes are the same, but it's two different ass people. And then the voice, it's really the voice. Like, oh, I think that's her voice. I even feel like her voice changed from how she sounded in season one.
Because when you get your nose done, sometimes it affects your nasal cord, which affects your voice. So I'm not surprised.
Piss poor over them. And then the last of the housewives is Jen Shaw's going to jail for prison for 6 years. And then still just celebrating the night, having cocktails, posting up glammed out photos of herself. Girl, you're crazy. Like, literally, but now we know, because now they order her to mental health treatment after her 6-year prison sentence is done. So to just know the truth that, yeah, bitch, you're psychotic. You've been showing us that since season one. And the whole cast of them was piss poor. The season three was a joke. I literally stopped watching by episode 3. And then I would just watch little clips I would see on social media. And then I was like, I'll watch the reunion. But then when I just saw the trailer for the reunion, I was like, I'm not even going to watch that. This shit was a huge snore. Z.
Okay, yes. It was. And as somebody who actually watched it, it's annoying. The new people that they bring in, like, I hate when they bring people on the Housewives show and you can tell that they want to be on it permanently, so they try too hard. Mm-hmm. Jen's friend, Angie K, is doing too. It's just these people on these shows acting like friends, and then they try too hard. It does not appear well to the viewer. No. This whole thing where everybody knows Jen punched Heather in the damn face. Everybody knows Jen was acting so suspicious, best friend, when, like, the only person trying to lie and make up a story is Jen. Like, everything said it was Jen. And the fact that you don't want to say it was Jen, Heather, that's how everybody knows it's freaking Jen. So even that whole thing of like, oh, who is it? It's just, I don't disagree.
How did Heather go from being the fan favorite to the lamest of the lame? What happened?
I think it is. You know, I still, Whitney annoys my life.
I'm sorry. No,
Whitney,
yeah, I just can't stand. No, she's
crying like, over this trauma.
No, she's like,
trauma, healing, trauma.
I don't think she has that much time left on the show. I mean, first of all, I don't know how much time the show has left. But if it is going to continue, I just don't know if Whitney is just so annoying. And
has no storyline.
No, that has no storyline. And then you're just kind of clinging on to drama. And it's like, we have Heather for that. And at least Heather's a bit better at it than you. So yeah, I think Whitney can eventually go. And the last of my housewife shade is, of course, the Green Eyed Bandits, Robin and Giselle. They are just so damn hypocritical, right on the cameras. I can't wait for the reunion. Andy better call their asses out. If Andy doesn't serve and deliver in this Potomac reunion the way it needs to happen, especially when it comes to this colorism topic, it's because it's clear as day. It's like, even if it's not colorism, then it's overt favoritism. And
it's hate towards
the light-skinned one. You're favoring the light-skinned one and not favoring the dark-skinned one. And then because we saw the whole situation with Candace and Monique, and they just hated Monique. So it was like they sided with Candace. And this time it's like they hate Wendy, so they're siding with Mia. So, it still rides the colorism debate because of what Giselle and Robin look like. It's just what it is. So the conversations just need to be had. I hope Andy does not disappoint when it comes to holding them accountable. He was trying to during their appearance on Watch What Happens Live, but Robin is a huge deflector and she gets aggressive. She gets like aggressive with her tone and her response. So it's like, you're just like, okay, girl, you know, cause she's like, no, what is annoying?
Well, I don't know if you read, but I think because of what her baby daddy's going through, they're not supposedly coming back next season, which I actually would like. She just does too much. It's just annoying. She just is a walking contradiction. You said it. It's just, it's a mess.
If she doesn't come back, it would be so crazy to see Giselle stand on her own.
And you know what I was thinking about? As somebody who's had like fibroids before, I would have loved that to have been Giselle's storyline. I would have loved to see her go to the doctor's office. Right. I would have loved to see her talk to her daughters about this. I think she really missed an opportunity to revamp herself and become that fan favorite again. Because you keep wanting to talk to Karen. If I don't like somebody, best friend, and every time I'm around you, you want to talk about them. It's annoying. I would have loved for her to really I think she missed a big opportunity. She could have been like a spokeswoman. The biggest regret I hope she has is not digging into that.
She is a regret. So she needs to get it together. I'm sorry. She needs to get it together when it comes to sharing her life. Her life, what you got going on. Because if you ain't got going on and you're literally just here to stir the pot, we got Ashley stir the pot, and at least Ashley shares her love life.
Right.
So figure it out. I'm sorry. They really need to start to hold these housewives accountable and tell them like, girl, you have to share your life. It is a part of the show. It's just what has to happen. Everyone else is doing it, even Mia. That's why you have yet to hear me say, I want Mia off the show or step it up. To me, Mia is so delusional. She's a pathological liar. She's messy as hell. And she takes a little accountability, but not really. But at the same time, just enough to just work. But she's also married and her husband got a lot too. So it's like, I don't want to see Mia off the show. I think to me, Mia's going to drive herself off the show with a scandal of some sort. I just see
it. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. But when
I see her having a big scandal.
But when it comes to Giselle, it's just like, Giselle, eventually it's going to get tired and played out. And you think the fans are that loyal to you, and they really are not. If at the end of the day, you are giving them nothing, you're just trying to get up in everybody else's business. There's other people for that. The business is going to get itself out. So if anything, Robin has done a lot more for the season than Giselle had. Giselle just said whatever about Chris, and now she's trying to pester the Karen and Charisse thing. But I think Robin still has her own storyline with, are you going to get married? Are you not? And then she really has been calling people out. So it's like, even though as much as I don't like Robin, I don't want to see her off the show, because I think she really stepped it up this season. And I can't, you know, not going to complain as much as I don't like her. So, yes.
So question really quickly before we move on. How do you feel about the whole, my parents are still alive and yet I'm not going to invite them to my wedding?
So she said her parents aren't coming to the wedding? I thought she said
she's not telling anybody. Like because at first she was going to, but now they're going into Jamaica, I think she said. And then,
but that doesn't make any sense. If the brother is getting married the day before, of course the parents are going to be there. I just thought she said it's closed off for them. Like, and honestly, the one thing I do get from Robin throughout everything is she's still being real to herself. Like, you'll see, like, even at times when she's getting aggressive, it's just like, she's like, no, because like, that's just how she is. you know? So I think overall, it's like she's letting them know, like, I don't really fuck with y'all. Like, we do the show, we're friendly here, but on some real shit, this is my husband, we're getting married again. It's only going to be for people, for my family, and y'all are not that. So y'all, none of you are coming.
It's just going to be her two sons and Juan. I just I don't know about the whole her mama and daddy. Juan doesn't really have a relationship.
People said that was tacky, and I agree. It is tacky to get married the day before. It don't matter. If that's your brother's wedding in Jamaica, who told you to interject your second wedding up into that? Girl, go get married somewhere else at another time and let your brother enjoy his time of getting married. So yeah, just tacky. Like, but she's always tacky. We see her when she came with that prom dress for the little goddess brunch two seasons back. I've just always known she was just tacky. Like, oh girl, just tacky. But all right, I'm done with my housewives rant. That's my housewives rant. On to you, Bessie, because I know you about to go in on this piss poor. Go ahead.
You know what? I really feel like I shouldn't even have to, but I just need to make my claim. Anybody who hates, who talks about, and who doesn't love Harry and Meghan, sit down, go to London, and get out of my life forever, okay? I have watched the Harry and Meghan documentary, I think, 3 times already, all That's six ridiculous. Episodes.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I've seen his Stephen Colbert interview, his 60 Minutes interview, his ITV, which is, I've saw all his interviews numerous times. I am so proud of this young man who's older than me, but it doesn't matter. I am in love with him. I'm in love with their story. I'm buying the book. I'm not 100% the book.
Oh my God.
Sure, the fuck am. Spare. I really don't understand. Cause a lot of people are saying, well, why is he coming out and saying all these things? Can you even imagine just being born into that? Like, I couldn't even imagine, right? Like, my parents just decided to have sex and now I'm being followed. I can't go on a vacation. I can't do anything. My mom dies. I lose my best friend over this whole entity. I still decide to do it. I'm lost. He gets his life together. He does everything. He finds love off of a Snapchat filter. It's not like she posted a thirst trap. He loved this girl with the doggy ears from like 2019. Right. He fought for her, he kept it quiet. And now everybody's so mad that he don't want to be in this bullshit monarchy and he sees over it. Y'all are evil. There's a whole bunch of dumb people buying the book to burn it. Y'all are stupid. He's still making that money. So you're dumb. His interview with I love Stephen Colbert as an interviewer. Like when he does like the Obamas, he asks very like really good questions, but he just said like, I am finally telling my story. I'm finally getting it out. I believe everything he said about the motherfucking, I believe everything from the Ruta to the Tuta. I know he's right. And everybody's like, well, he shouldn't be putting it out there. Why not? If the world is already writing stuff about you, who are you to not say, you know what? This is not what this is. And I want to tell my story. So I want him and Meghan to get all the coins. I want them to continue to raise their beautiful black and redheaded children. And I will take no slander against the royals. I will go to London in every picture. I'm going to say Harry and Meghan because I want them to say something. Mm-hmm. Anybody who hates them, it's their piss poor performance. Not Harry and Meghan, but everybody who doesn't love them. Piss poor. I'm done.
I mean, I just love seeing all this white family drama play out for everyone to see that it's not just us that we beefing with each other, because Prince Charles pushed Harry and he cut his leg, and Harry
is a little fat chick
and call him a bald-headed scallywag, and Camilla is a side chick and the boys didn't want their father to marry her and they don't like their stepmama. I'm here for all of it.
Listen, one thing he said that was really powerful before I move on, he said like his mother died when he was 36, when she was 36. He turned 36 when they officially left in 2020. Uh-huh. He was like, I've never felt my mom more than I felt her in the last 2 years. And I really feel like Diana is reincarnated as his daughter. Like, speak, son, speak. So
oh my
like,
God, I definitely started tearing up in the Harry and Meghan when the baby, it was Archie. And he kind of just started talking to Diana's picture. It was so crazy. I was like, oh my God. I just started like tearing up. Like, oh my God. Cause yeah, like it's still so sad at the end of the day. what happened to their mom and everything that was missed because of what happened to their mom. And then just even learning more about the story and how they had to cope with life after their mom and not even really being able to show emotion because they're royals. And then also just kind of how weird, I'm sorry, like, I'm just going to say it, like, it's very weird how they're expected to present themselves over there. And I know that Americans are considered to be loud and obnoxious and all of this, but it's like we definitely are open to being able to feel and go through things. It shouldn't be you. Like, how do you expect two young princes to just come out and shake hands after their mother just died? And then even things over time, like where he, you know, if he was being rebellious and how they just kind of dragged him in the media versus him being like recognizing that he's a teenager or a young man and stuff. So I just think a lot of it. And then even still to this day, how they go about things. Recently, the guy talking about he wants to see Meghan walk naked and say shame, shame, shame. It's like, what the hell? Y'all are sick. This shouldn't be
upset.
And then Camilla is inviting them over for tea and biscuits. Like, come on, y'all are dead sick over here. Like, this is some weird, disturbing ass shit. And, you know, Harry is coping with it and how he is. And he's speaking out. He's the first one to do so. And more power to him. More power to him. I mean, just at the end of the day, just know you doing your part. I think the one thing, though, that I'm kind of getting from Harry, where he says things like, oh, like, you know, they won't speak to me, or I want to be back in the royal family. Like, I'll read the headlines or see that he said excerpts of that. And it's kind of just like, boy, why don't you just go on with your life happily? Granted, still talk about whatever, like, you, it's your experience. But to expect, what are you expecting from them? You know who they are. You know what it is. Yeah. You know who you are still, because, like, he's even admitted he's still opening his eyes to his privilege. Because at the same time, a lot of even sometimes hearing him I was watching the one with him and Anderson Cooper, and you can still hear the privilege in him complaining, like, yeah, you know, my brother, when I started school with him, he told me, don't talk to me. And it's kind of like, bro, that is like some normal ass shit that happens when two kids, siblings might go to school together, but I can understand how it greatly impacted you. And you're now just kind of sharing about your sibling rivalry, but recognize that you're on CNN talking about how your brother didn't want to speak to you when you guys went to high school together at the same time. It's like, you're a fucking prince. Like, you still have a lot of privilege in your complaints and even just your way of being able to express your complaints, and everybody just up in arms about it. And then when they asked him about the part of him mentioning his brother being bald and trying to say that, you know, his mom's genes are leaving him, and he kind of just kind of brushed past that. Boy, you know, you shaded your brother. It's okay. Like, stop trying to sit here and now act like you're higher above your family that you're calling them out for their shit. All of y'all got some shit. Okay. Iyanla needs to come fix all of this. Let's keep it a buck. All of you, there's layers to everything. Okay. But yeah, like I said, my favorite thing is just that this is white people's family drama, royal family drama. And I'm here for it, because I just don't, you know, I don't believe in none of that monarchy, schmonarchy stuff.
But it's dumb.
I do love Meghan and Harry's love story. That was my favorite part of the Meghan and Harry. I love their love story. I love the soundtrack. Oh, it was such a good soundtrack. I looked it up to find out which songs they were playing. Their love story was the best part. But at the same time, through their love story, you were able to get a better sense of how ugly the British media can be. And
he said it. He was like, I can't, like, he was like, no, when he did the interview, he said, I would never be like a server. Like, I would never serve as like prince or king again. I want to talk to my family, but they have to acknowledge. A lot of people struggle with self-awareness and acknowledgement because it sucks to be wrong, but they really got to say, look, we were taught wrong. And he said that, like, it wasn't until he married her that he realized maybe I shouldn't be doing that stuff.
So, oh, I'm sorry. That was the other one. When he said William and Kate encouraged him to wear the Nazi costume.
Ugh.
You are only saying that now because you're mad at your brother. You were 20 years old when you wore that Nazi costume. Now you want telling us 20 years later, oh, William and Kate encouraged. It's like, come on, stop trying to be with this victim shit. You wore a fucking Nazi costume, bro.
And he said, yeah, I don't like my wife. I'm putting all y'all under the bus.
Yeah, so it's like, at the same time, it's like you're bitter and you're upset. And so now your way of retaliating is going to the media. So that's why I can't completely dispute that fact that Harry is upset at his family, and his way of retaliating is to go to the media. He gets them where it hurts, which is, that's why I'm here for it. But don't sit here and try to act like you're better than them because, like, oh, I'm the victim, I'm hurt. Like, you're coming out now, your way of just getting back at them is telling all the business. You know what I'm saying? It's like, y'all all are sick. Sick. But anyways, speaking of sick, I'm sorry, I didn't mention that. I watched that on Peacock. It's a pretty decent movie. I've been watching a lot of little movies, especially the ones on Peacock. I watched Sick. I watched One Bedroom. You know, it's like horror movie season, which for whatever reason.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Always horror movies in like January, February. I'm waiting for Megan to come on Peacock. I wanted Mark to take me to see Megan, but when I found out it would be on Peacock by the end of February, I'm like, okay, I'll wait.
I watched Paul T. Goodman. Did you see that about the guy who made, like, Paul T. Goodman, a guy wrote a story about his life. He hit up a director and he said, my story is true, but he wanted to star, like he wrote a screenplay, but he wanted to star in it. So it's like a true story about his life, but he's starring in the reenactment and he's a weird ass guy. Paul T. Goodman is so weird, but so like, it's weird.
It's on Peacock.
It's like a series, but it's like a docu-series.
Guy playing him. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's based on a true story. A guy wrote what happened to his life when he met his ex-wife. So some of it is true, but then as you watch it, it's like maybe he's a little crazy. It's a mess, but it's the one thing about this old Jewish guy in his 60s. Like, I want to be the star. So he's in this. You just watch it because he just one episode because it's so, it's like you doing a screenplay about you and you want to be in the movie, but you're not a good actor.
Right. Oh, gosh, that's funny. It sounds weird. Okay, so let's get into our deep dive.
One thing and one thing only.
Only one thing, and it is... Season 15, baby. I'm still here for it. I'm loving all. Okay, first of all, what I'm not loving is these 1 hour episodes. And I wish just go somewhere to watch the extra 30 minutes. Well, they're saying that it was on World of Wonder. I don't know. I've been seeing a lot on the internet. But anyways, this season is so good. I love the whole lineup. It's already up to episode 3 as of this podcast recording. And we have now seen 2 queens go home. I was a bit surprised.
I still do not know the difference between sugar or spice. So I just want to say that.
I don't know the difference. Now I know that. And when they're not in drag, sugar is the one with the blonde hair and spice is the one with the dark hair. That's the only
thing to pay attention.
Okay. But I can't tell when they are in drag, I guess from the aesthetic, like who looks a little bit more like the villain one is spice, I guess. I don't know. But I am here for them. Of course, I'm here for Anitra. Anitra served at that time of the show. It was just insane. I was just like, I've watched it so many times, just that performance.
And I was screaming.
Yes.
Screaming. Crack. I haven't been that excited in a long time.
Oh my gosh. Like everything.
Walk.
Yo, it was amazing. It was everything. And now crazy.
And the best part was that she wouldn't tell nobody. That was the best part. She's like, you'll see my talent. You'll see. Mm.
And
that was the best thing.
Just served it. I love it. I love a humble queen. I was surprised. I was rooted for Irene Dubois from the beginning, from the start.
Lord,
her drag was fierce, and I liked her attitude. It was shady, but I was here for it. And the fact that she just couldn't lip sync, I said, "Oh, girl, you got all that attitude, and you can't lip sync, girl." I wasn't mad.
I kind of felt her demise because they were giving her a lot of camera time. They gave her too much camera time for episode 1. When I saw that damn talent of making water with Jesus.
Yes.
I can't even see that being funny.
Ever.
She like, says she's done it for like 10 minutes.
She's
apparently alive. She's done it before. She says she's done it for 10 minutes, but she tried to do it in 1. But who? I want to know who her friends are. She said that, I think, is it Bosco? Is her like drag sister?
No, don't bring Bosco into this. Don't bring.
That's what she said. That's her drag sister. So she didn't call her because Best Friend of You was on Drag Race, and then I go, I'm a. Well, maybe she couldn't tell her, but like, why would you think? You know what I'm gonna do? I have 1 minute, a minute and a half. Let me make a cup of ice water.
And you're not even funny like that. You really thought she was funny like that? The other one I noticed is Lucy LaDuca. She every season there's a Lucy LaDuca. There's a Jan. There's a. I love drag so much, and I do think I'm so fierce, and I think I'm the fiercest of all, but I take myself too serious in this competition, and I end up royally screwing up each time and, like, kind of just messing up. That's what we saw Lucy DeLuca do when she tried to sing live, and then still was just like, I didn't think I did great, but I didn't think I was the worst. Girl, you were horrible. Your voice does not sound good. Like, it was bad. You know what I'm saying? And then in this latest episode, when they were picking the teams and one of them that, you know, that picked her and said, Lucy LaLulu, you know, just joking around. She was like, it's Lucy LaDuca. It's like, girl, Rue knows who you are. Just relax. Like, you are going so hard. Like, just relax. Have fun. I swear, the more you have fun, the better you're going to do. Like,
and then it's like, you're not a, like, even though you can sing, there's like a Beyonce boot camp, the Matthew Knowles boot camp, where you learn how to sing and dance. If she would have sung a ballad, okay, but that song was like a techno song.
People who sing techno don't sing live. It was just like, no, but that talent show was really good. I mean, I do get tired of all the lip syncs, but at the same time, it's like, if you, people were like, oh, they should ban lip syncs. I'm like, but then you wouldn't get what Anitra gave. You know what I'm saying? It's like, You can only get that though. But it does get played out, especially when some people are so average or mediocre with their lip sync. But she did good. I did like Jax.
I hate Jax's fashion. I don't like anything she has worn ever since I've seen her.
I wrote down every single outfit. My list of worst drag is Jax and S Titties.
Oh, S Titties is so just like, I get what you're trying to do. I get, you could be like a, you could be a true lot. Like, I get it, but you just always look so Five Below. Everything looks like she just went to like Raw. Like, it's like that whole light lamp shit with the picture. What was that?
Yes. Like,
I've never seen a light lamp with, no.
She was like, I'm a light lamp with a street sign.
STD's better vibe. Girl, she's a lot. I love Mistress Isabel Brooks. Yes. I think she's there for the drama.
Her drag is really good.
It's really, really good. And I love
it. To be a big woman, you know, a big one, like, you know, but she is like really good. She's really, she puts herself together well.
Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for her. And somebody else I'm rooting for that I don't think they're going to make it far, they're just kind of playing the middle, is Robin Fierce. I fucking love her, but I do like Robin Fierce.
But yeah, I don't see her going. She's not going to win. I don't see that.
Seems very, there's just worse people, that there's people that are worse than her.
Right.
Maybe it's just the beginning, but like, I don't see anything that's like, you know, oh my gosh, she's a winner. But Anitra, I see. Let's talk about top five, or like your top, like maybe three.
Wait,
to five.
I do just want to say though, Aura Mayari is the trade of the season for sure.
Ooh, she is fine as a man and a woman.
I think that's pretty much all we're gonna get though. Because when she was like, "I'm a dancer," and then she did that for her talent, I was like, "What?"
Best friend, I was so confused. I said, "So where's the hip and where's the hop?"
And the hop,
because all she kept doing was this shoulder thing,
I was like, "What is happening here? Like, this is just not what I thought you were gonna give." So yeah. But all right, my top five, it's still very hard. I can only just say Anitra. I do like London Noir. I was thinking at first she wasn't going to give much, because what I was getting from the younger drag queens was just like their inexperience could hinder them. But what I'm seeing in the challenges is really, it has nothing to do with age. That's why Drag Race is such a great show. So Anitra, London Noir, I like so far. I can't say top five. I'm sorry. I like Robin Fierce, but I'm not going to put her top five. Isabel. Who's the one you just named? The one from Texas?
Mistress Isabel Brooks. Mistress,
I do like her, but I can't say top five yet. I take my top five serious, and I don't even know all they names like that to give somebody a damn top five right now. But Anitra.
I have a controversial.
And the twins, opinion. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of like, I'm still not really gagged on them the way, but I do think that they are being underestimated and proving everyone wrong.
I kind of am excited for one twin to go home before the other to see how they act, because I think they have each other a lot. So I'm really excited for that. Sasha Colby is fierce. I love her. I love what she's doing. I think she's going to be better than Kerry, because Kerry to me just gave like face, but I think I'm happy Kerry did it. So now Sasha could do it. I love her. Mm-hmm. I do agree with London. I think I was listening to a sibling watchery with Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange, and I do like their point. I want to switch her name. Like, it should be London Lux London Noir. Like, I just want to switch her middle name and the last name. Anyway.
Right.
I do agree with Anitra. I do agree with London. I think one of the twins is going to make it relatively further than the other. I love Sasha Colby. And I also think that Marsha is like being slept on. I do agree. She needs more like drag makeup.
Yes.
I think, you know, it's very simple, but I think that she's like can sing, can act. Her talent show made me die laughing because it was so creative. It wasn't just, oh, I'm an actual ballet dancer, because I didn't know she was an actual dancer, but those are kind of like the ones I'm watching for. Like we said, we love Robin. She's beautiful. Jax is not going to make it that far. I don't think Robin's like,
oh no, that drag is horrible. Horrible. Ugh. Sorry. It's like literally the worst. S-Titty's drag is better than Jax. Jax is literally at the bottom of my list right now. And what I wanted to say about the latest lip sync, I was disappointed in Princess Poppy because she clearly was winning. And then she just decided to go like trying to be funny, but like gross at the same time. And then it's Diana Ross. And I didn't like that her exit was doing a burp. That was just like, ew, girl, that's why you going home, girl. You so tacky.
Even her outfit. Like, that is not a main stage outfit. Like, you on these damn panties. I knew she was going home.
Yes. Amethyst is just not really delivering. I'm always for the underdog. You know, she's been in the bottom two times in a row. And I do like her personality. And I'm here for the Robin Fierce, Amethyst possible thing, but overall drag wise I'm just not here for it, but I'm very much looking forward to this snatch game.
Oh, I can't wait. We're gonna have to have like a double dose.
That's gonna tell us everything we need to know. Now after snatch game, now I can have a top five.
Okay, that's what we'll do. Tune in next week when Jerozlyn gives her top five of Drag Race.
Yes. And that's do we have anything else we wanted to talk about?
We have to give our yes before we end it out, because we haven't given yes yet.
Okay, my yes for this week is Martina, Julia Lemagoma's wife of Real Housewives of Miami, Martina Navratilova. She is a tennis champion, but she just, you know, recently shared that, you know, she's been diagnosed with cancer, like a lot of cancer, like throat. And it's just, I'm praying for her. But at the same time too, what we were seeing in this season five, they were in a rough patch. And to know now that at that time, maybe Martina didn't know she didn't know she had cancer, but at the same time, like maybe she was just starting to feel sick and she just wasn't feeling support from her wife. It just makes me feel more sympathetic, but they're still together. They're still going strong. And, I'm rooting for Martina to win and to beat this and just continue to represent love, true love on the Housewives in a way that hasn't been represented before. Whatever her circumstances, despite all of that, like just knowing what she was able to bring to Housewives, it's just really beautiful. So shout out to Martina.
And as a member of the LGBT community, I'm just happy that they have a lesbian housewife. Yeah. So I love her.
Yes.
I have hope.
Yes.
And keeping it on the yes, I'm just going to keep it short and sweet with Dr. Wendy Asefo. I think her first season, I didn't hate her, but I didn't love her.
Right.
But I love her evolution. I love how classy her reads are. I love how more, I think she's finding her own in her third season. I think she's kind of like noticing who she is. And I love that, like, she's in stuff, but she's also like calling things out. So I'm just here for the Dr. Wendy love. I think, you know, she deserves it now more than ever. People are seeing through the green eye bandits, but her just like kind of calling Mia out, like, girl, do you know what assault is? Like, do you know what you did? Like, and Mia cannot hold a torch to her. So I just love, because it's different from a Candace, where I feel like Candace sometimes can go a little low.
Yes.
Wendy's never going to do that. She's going to make you feel dumb. And I just love that.
Yes.
I love
I'm so here for more of Wendy's classy reads. And I'm so happy that she is being redeemed on the show, because, you know, I've been a Wendy fan from day one. She's our soror. But I've also interviewed her twice, and she's mad cool. Like, she's a sweetheart. And I saw how she was being misunderstood from when her inception. And I just never liked it. I just didn't like seeing people say, okay, girl, why are you bragging about having 4 degrees? Because she got 4 degrees. The fuck do you
hello? Like, that's a lot of money she spent on that school.
Then when she came back in season 6, and then she had gotten the body done, and people were trying to say, oh, she's trying to act all like a hot city girl. And I think she felt pressured to try to show a more fun side of herself, because y'all made her sound like she was boring in her first season. So like you're saying, with her in season 7, where she is like more, I am me, I'm coming into myself, and now everyone's loving it. I'm just here for it. I'm totally here for it. For our soror, because we got 2 of them on the show, but one of them always disappoints me. So I'm just happy that one of them is representing us well. Okay. And on that, let's end with some positivity.
Namaste.
What you got? You got like a quote or a motto or a mantra that you want to like leave the listeners with?
Stop violating your own boundaries.
Boundaries
are important. Needed, so stop violating them, because everyone deserves them.
That's a figgity fact. And that goes for you too, Prince Harry. Okay, you done already set the boundary. So leave them, like, just let them, just keep talking about them. Stop trying to like extend olive branches. Come on now. Now they're talking about he might not go to the coronation.
Ooh. Oh yeah, because his daddy about to be king, and his daddy not king yet. And so they do the whole thing. Yeah. Like the inauguration is like the coronation.
Right, the plot continues to thicken. But all right, positivity. Mine is very simple. Invest in yourself. Meditate. Read. Eat healthy food. Drink water. Move your body. Spend time in nature. Rest up. You are worthy. And on that note, love.
We got to make sure we put in like an applause clap, because like sometimes it just is needed.
We definitely do. And on that note, love. Sanaya, what's our slogan? Tell us. Close. With our-
This has to be a running joke, because we're going to forget every time.
No.
Love. Not weird. Peace. You're getting hair bundles?
Oh, my gosh. Sanaya, why don't you just write it down?
I did it. I don't know. Okay, we're going to. I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh. All right, y'all. I'm going to finally get it. It's love, abundance, and bundles.
Okay, let me write it down right now on my post-it.
We will try it. Tanea is the one that made up the slogan, and she has yet to remember her own slogan that she made up.
I did.
But all right, y'all. We are riding this train into 2023. Stick with us. And please stay tuned. Enjoy your week. Watch some TV.
Have a good one.
Bye.